Hello everyone, Pastor Steve coming to you from our maintenance carport. You can see it behind me there, just a great structure. It's kind of at a standstill right now, and I look forward to giving you an update via text and email later this week. So thank you for praying, giving, and working on this project. We're going to wait for the concrete till next year anyway for everything to settle in a little bit, and so that's no problem there. But that'll be a great space, you can see, for putting all of our stores, the large maintenance equipment that we have to keep the property beautiful and in good service and safe for people to come to hear about the Lord. Thank you for participating in our scatter groups. This will be message number 32 in the book of 1 Samuel this year. We've had two seasons. We've had season one, and now we're ending season two with this message and with this scatter group session here today. So thank you for praying. Thank you for participating. And many of you brought visitors by and invited people, and that's not really the purpose of it, but it works out that way. People are excited to share this time of Bible discussion and prayer together, and also a good meal. Thank you to all the hosts. Thank you for your providing a space and a beautiful space. And some of you are watching right now will need your help with hosting in our next session and next season, which will be in January. The next several weeks and months, we'll be planning and working towards our next scatter season, which will be in 2023. And I've already been working on messages and planning ahead for that. And so please stay tuned for good details about that. We're in the book of 1 Samuel tonight, and I'll ask the Lord to bless our study and conversation, and then we'll just go ahead and begin. Father, thank you for this time to gather as people and individuals and families. Thank you for all the scatter group hosts and people who brought food, if there's food in these sessions, and the good fellowship, the encouragement, the prayers answered, and the Bible knowledge and application that we've also enjoyed and benefited from. We pray for your blessing now in this final session of the year, that you encourage each one. Thank you for the book of 1 Samuel and the many terrific lessons that we could learn and apply to our lives. And we pray for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a special Give Thanks Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. We'll have what we call cardboard testimonies. So stay tuned and you'll get some more information about that in the coming days. So 1 Samuel, we're in the last chapter, so that's chapter 31. We're going to talk about insecurities in this final message and lesson here today. One person commented that one very common error misleads the opinion of mankind, that is, authority is pleasant and submission is painful. In the general course of human affairs, the very reverse of this is nearer the truth. Command is anxiety and obedience is ease. I found that to be a very interesting statement. And we're going to find a contrast when looking at the kingmaker, that being Samuel, and the one he made the king as the first king, being Saul. Command is anxiety, obedience is ease. So think about that as we go through our message today. And when you think about our obedience to God, that also adds another dimension to this. He went on to say, if this is true at the human level, how much more is it the case in the divine human relationship? All right, so our verse, one verse, and we find in 1 Samuel 31:13, and they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. King Saul and Jonathan and his other sons, they're all killed in battle, and then they're hung up and strung up by the Philistines, and then they're finally taken back by the mighty men of Jabesh Gilead, who go and rescue them to give them a proper, more honorable burial. But King Saul is dead. Remember why there's a king to begin with. The people had wondered, and they said, if we're like other nations, if we would have a king, then all of our problems would be different. If we would just have a king to be like other people, then our life would be a lot better. The dreams of the people, that living under the authority of a king would solve all their earthly problems, fade away the day that Saul dies. Being like the other nations did not really help them in any way with the troubles that they were having. Now, the verse that we read, I like how the Life Application Bible describes this verse and comments on this verse. Heroic spiritual lives are built by stacking days of obedience one on top of the other. Oh, I like that. Days of obedience, stacking them up one on top of the other. Like a brick, each obedient act is small in itself. But in time, the acts pile up and a huge wall of strong character will be built, a great defense against temptation. We should strive for consistent obedience each day. Now, Samuel is a lesson in hopeful obedience to God, while Saul is a lesson of uncertain obedience to the Lord. Saul never had peace in his heart. Saul never enjoyed the joy of the Lord. He always had some anxiety and problems, and really that leadership role was a lot of overwhelming things for him. The kingmaker, Samuel, is very secure in his walk with the Lord, and Saul, yet the first king, he's very insecure in his emotions, whereas Samuel is a lot more secure. There's a big contrast here. Why did David play the harp for Saul? Anyone remember that from several chapters ago in our narrative? Well, Saul didn't have peace in his heart. He couldn't sleep. He didn't have peace. And he had an evil spirit that was troubling him. And he didn't enjoy the peace that really we can find in God. The peaceful music was therapy, music therapy for his soul. Many of us are more like Saul than we care to admit. We look for band-aids, maybe music or other things, relationships and stuff and activities maybe, or events or experiences that we could have. And we'll try to find peace in the stuff and the things and get a different feeling than maybe what we have. Saul had a lot of things going for him that God put in his life, but he did not find the joy or the peace. And really, we could contribute that, I believe, to his disobedience. Disobedience to God adds to our personal insecurities. Why is he such an insecure person? We'll find at least three ways he's very insecure. And I could even examine my own life that sometimes I think maybe there's some insecurities in me. Are you going to be honest with yourself? Are there times when you feel some feelings of insecurity, personal insecurity in your life? I was thinking about that, you know, about education and degrees. And, oh, I need another degree. I need to study this. And just, it's okay just to be content. Or whenever you're hunting and, oh, I need to get the buck with the biggest. I mean, he had an 8-point. I mean, I'm going to go for a 10-point. We can compare and contrast our lives with others and look at her house and how nice her house is. And if her husband is like that, I mean, why can't my husband be like that? And the kids comparing things, and we can become insecure when we live like that. Disobedience adds to our insecurities. Sometimes we have insecurities. I think sometimes I do as well. The different responses of Samuel and Saul when God first talks to both of them really is an eye-opening thing. So God speaks to both of them, and their initial response is very eye-opening. Samuel is just young and small, and it reveals his character and his perspective of God. Saul is quite a bit older, but yet it also reveals his character and perspective of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. Notice this in your passage, and also we'll look at 1 Samuel 9:21. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went down and lay in his place. And sure enough, the Lord shows up again, and he calls out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responds with Eli's advice. He says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He's all ears. He wants to hear. I'm going to be your servant. But then when the Lord talks to Saul, Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou to me? Why are you talking to me? Why are you talking to me about being a king? Now, while Samuel was dedicated to God and raised in the tabernacle, he sees God's voice as an opportunity to serve with unblemished humility. Now, when Saul hears God's voice, he sees this with a false sense of humility. His family is not poor. His family is not really that small. And his family is very well known. They're not unknown there in Israel. His response reveals some personal insecurities. So let's consider some insecurities we may have. For Saul, the very first one in his response to God was his family. He was insecure in his upbringing and his family, and maybe he was ashamed of it. Maybe he didn't like it. I don't know what the reason would be, but he said, really with a false humility, that, oh, my family's nothing, and we're nothing, and I'm nothing, and my dad's nothing. But there's more to it than that. 1 Samuel 9, verse 1 says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bektorath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Mighty is the word Gabor, power. He has a strength and a great influence. And so he's really a leading figure in Israel. Saul doesn't see it that way. For some reason, he does not see his family in an accurate way. If we go to change our family name, or if we're ashamed of the family that we're growing up in or grew up in, those things don't help anything. Being ashamed or changing our name, that doesn't help anybody. You are your own person, no matter the family you grew up in or the upbringing that you have or are having. You see your family, and we should see our family, the way that God sees them. These are imperfect people with great potential to serve the Lord. Imperfect people with great potential to serve the Lord. Saul did not see his family or himself truthfully. He didn't look at himself or at his family gracefully or accurately. It could be a false humility. Psalm 127, verse 5 says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. It's speaking about kids and children. They shall not be ashamed. That is, the kids and the children shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. These kids can be bold and powerful in the Lord because of the upbringing, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything else that they may have in their life. And so he did not see himself accurately. Family is one of his insecurities. Number two, stuff. Stuff. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 21, the people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So here he is. He's fighting against the Amalekites. He doesn't destroy all of them like he's supposed to. He spares Agag, and they take the stuff. He says, we intended to give it as a sacrifice to God. We wanted to do that, and the people took the stuff later on, he says, and, you know, it wasn't really my idea that people wanted to do it. But he looked at the stuff. How many of us look at our stuff and things and the accumulation of wealth or material possession, and we get a false sense of security from those things? Now, I'm all for planning ahead, and, you know, fuel prices are going up, and there's supposedly going to be a diesel shortage, which means there'll be less food on the shelves at the supermarket. And so it's good to plan ahead, but our security does not come from God. Our emotional security does not come from, well, I have more stuff than I used to have, or I had more stuff than when I grew up, and, you know, we used to eat food out of a can, and I don't want to eat food out of a can anymore, so I'm going to get a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of things, and then I'll find some emotional peace in my heart because I have a lot of stuff. Okay, you can just accumulate all that you want to of things and stuff, but you will not find peace. In fact, Saul finds the opposite of peace when he saw all the good stuff that they had accumulated after defeating the Amalekites. More stuff does not solve our problems. Sometimes the more stuff we own, the more that stuff owns us. Stuff does not make us more important. You are not more valuable to God or to others because of the stuff, the material things that you have. And I encourage you to avoid spiritualizing selfish decisions. Avoid spiritualizing that. In Luke, or actually in 1 Samuel 15:15, Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, this was spiritualizing something that he knew he was disobeying. Now, his disobedience actually contributed to his sense of emotional insecurity. Because now, here comes Samuel, I hear the bleating of the sheep. Why do I hear the bleating of the sheep? Why is Agag standing here? You should have hewed him in pieces. And he hauls off on him and he does that. But there's even more a spiraling downward and away from God because of this moment of disobedience. In Luke 16, verse 9, I say unto you, Jesus said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Jesus is saying that kind of sarcastically, make friends with money if you want to, mammon, and see if that can get you out of hell. See if that can get you into heaven. Well, of course it can't do that. So he's saying that sarcastically. You can't make friends with stuff and money and things and buy your way into heaven or to earn forgiveness. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And so we need to trust God. His emotional security could have been encouraged if he was obeying the Lord instead of, oh, I've got to trust having more stuff to be able to see me through this time of life. And then another insecurity would be comparison. Family, stuff, and then comparison. Why did Saul chase David all around the wilderness for many years? Why was he trying to trap David with his daughter in marriage and poor Michal and how terrible that situation was? How is it that he threw a spear at David on several occasions and then even threw one at his own son? It was because of jealousy. It was because of comparison. Why did he kill the priests and their families? Why did he do that? The priests who just gave food and they gave the sword of Goliath to the one who had killed Goliath, that being David. And David said, would you pray for me? They prayed for him. And Saul had all of those priests and their families, even the women and the children, all executed. Why did he go to these great lengths? It was jealousy. It was jealousy. It was an insecurity which led to this jealousy because David had already been anointed the next king. The kingmaker, Samuel, had already laid oil and his hands on him and said, God told me to tell you, you'll be the next king. There's not been a public coronation that hasn't taken place yet. But instead of riding off into the sunset on a good note, Saul is jealous and he is fighting with every ounce that he has against God and against David. Whenever we compare ourselves with others, we set ourselves up for jealousy and disobedience to the Lord. That form of disobedience adds to our emotional instability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. The most well-known verse in all of 1 Samuel is about obedience or disobedience. So he was insecure about family stuff and comparison. I like how one person said, a person must first learn to obey before being qualified to lead. Saul didn't quite have that down, did he? Sometimes we don't have that down like we ought as followers of Jesus. So here's that most well-known verse. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So the initial response when God spoke to both Samuel and Saul really reveal a lot about their character in their following the Lord. And we've discovered some tragic insecurities in Saul's life. And I encourage you, identify any insecurities that you may have and then commit those to the Lord. There's four things that we can do with this. Be obedient to God's clear will. Be prayerful with every choice that you make. Be confident, not in yourself, but be confident in God and be affirming of truth. Evaluate your family, your stuff, and your choices with truth, and that will make a great difference. The Apostle Paul, his name had been Saul, and in the New Testament, found great peace and security when he was submitting to the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26 is where we'll end. Here's where you could find security in obeying the Lord. Here's emotional security at its best. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so let's be obedient to God. Disobedience to God adds to our personal insecurities. Please make application to these incredible truths over the next several months, and I look forward to seeing you in our next Scatter season next year. Thanks for participating. God bless.